Hello, everybody.
That's what he does every time, man. Every time.
Welcome to the Off the Cup podcast with Hoppy and Hobbs. And special guest this week, our Angels reporter, John from Lakeside. Say hi, John.
Hey. Hi, John.
All right. So don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Off the Cup Pod, Instagram, Off the Cup Podcast, and the Facebook page for Off the Cup Podcast with, you know, membership rising every week. And at some point, we'll start doing Facebook Live of our podcast as well.
So
tons of stuff going on this week. I'm going to give a quick recap before we jump into the top stories that aren't other than baseball. We're going to be talking our Angels report with John. Really excited. Our first reporter on the podcast. Going to do the Angels report. We're going to talk Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, Nick Markakis, Christian Yelich, MLB COVID, Cards, Cubs, Marlins, Padres, because we cover a lot of Padres on this podcast. But the top stories other than baseball this week, the biggest one.
Big story.
All,
big story.
WNBA, no positive tests in their bubble. Go. Who's got something on that? All right. WNBA, great job.
Great job.
Way better than Major League Baseball. Nice work. Maybe they should have went in a bubble.
Bubbles.
Bubble. Arizona bubble for Major League Baseball. Might have worked out.
Be a huge bubble.
Also, this week, 67 NFL players opted out of the season. All right, you guys
No, that's like a full team.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
One whole team said, screw it, we're out.
Yeah, we're done.
Wow.
And there's some teams like the Chargers that didn't have anybody opt out. So does that make them stronger?
Physically?
I mean, the Patriots had, I think, six or eight players.
Oh, the Patriots.
Yeah, they got crushed.
Speaking about the Patriots.
Nice finger.
Yeah, I'm pointing at you. Cam Newton.
Yeah.
That's going to be I heard that and I'm like, Belichick and Newton from Belichick and Brady. That's going to be very, very interesting to see what kind of player he is this year.
Yeah, that's going to be a totally different outlook of what he can bring to the table. We'll have to see. But those are big shoes to fill with Brady being gone. But we'll see what Cam can do.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that too.
Sorry to get off topic, but
no, it's perfect. Cam Newton thing is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, if he goes out there and he plays really well, even if he plays poorly, I mean, it gives him a better chance to win, you know.
Well, he couldn't play much more poorly than
Brady. What do
you mean,
Tom
Brady? You mean the GOAT, number 12?
No, I'm sure he's going to do fine. If he's not hurt, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, just physical specimen.
Veteran leadership. Talent. He knows how to play football. Smart guy.
His interview, man, he sounded like a completely different guy, though. That's what
he's on the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. It was like almost scripted for him, but it was like, wow.
It's like going from, you know, 2 years ago's Marlins and all of a sudden you're on the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Garrett Cole going from the Pirates to the Yankees and the difference.
Right? It's unreal. Yeah. So exciting times for Patriots fans.
And the third biggest story of the week.
Big story.
The Rock buys the XFL. Does that mean they're going to be playing again next year? Oh, by the way, it was only $15 million.
So that just tells you how much money McMahon actually put into it. Because if you're like, hey, $15 million, that's pocket change for that guy.
You would think so.
Pocket change.
It's still $15 million out of his pocket.
Yeah, but it's $15 million amongst a group of people with The Rock being a part of it. But, I mean, how much money do they think they can make? I mean, they really didn't spend a lot on a sports franchise, like eight teams or something, you know? But
still, like $15 million.
But if the TV contracts are still valid, I mean, that's not a lot of money if you know you're going to be on
but
TV.
But you know The Rock's going to go, hey, dude, kick in. He's going to get all of his boys and they're going to pour a bunch of money into it.
Will it turn into Ballers? Will they just videotape everything and turn it into a TV show?
They should.
Let's hope not. I mean, I'll probably watch just for the nicknames alone.
Yeah. Pac-Man, right? Yeah, I mean,
he hate me.
He hate me.
He hate me. Jeez.
Oh, the XFL was doing pretty good last year before they folded.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a kind of a minor league football. If you treat it like you are not trying to compete with NFL, I think you're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way he's going to go. You know, I mean, he was a guy out of college that, you know, borderline. Why not give those guys a shot?
It's fun to play football if you can make any kind of a living where you don't have to work another job and you get to play football for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
As an athlete, that'd be fun. It's great. It's mm-hmm. great going out. And I played baseball for a long time after I was done playing because there's opportunities. Yeah. There aren't a lot of opportunities to play football.
No, no. Canadian Football League, but
that's in Canada.
I understand that.
It's still
it's a whole different country.
Yes.
I get it.
In Mexican football, it's a little bit different. It's kind of like soccer in the U.S. So you go play football in Mexico, you know, you're not wearing pads. All right. So let's jump into our great reporter for this week, John from Lakeside, jumping in, going to tell us all about the Angels. We want to cover more than just the Padres on this show. So John's coming in to be our Angels reporter. All right, John. Give us the overview of what's going on right now with the Angels.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to say is congratulations to Mike Trout and his little boy, his little bat, basically. Yes. Beckham, yeah. Aaron Trout. That's awesome nicknames. You got to be careful about your abbreviation of your, say, what's it like, you know, Aaron something stout. So well, that's a good thing. So that's a good thing going on. Also, since we do have the greatest player in baseball as of right now, Mike Trout, happy birthday.
Yeah. So, yeah. Five home runs
On the birthday boy. So you can't beat that.
I would never pitch to Trout on his birthday.
Do you think the pitchers go, dang it, it's Trout's birthday.
Man, it doesn't matter what happens to his going yard.
Well, you could do that, but I'd probably go like, you know, you're not going to get one off of me. And like, okay, well, just add your name to the list, basically.
Well, just if I was pitching, I'd just hit him.
Not only
no, just
no. Seriously,
happy birthday!
You can't hit a home run off me, buddy.
Enjoy your bruise.
Your hip. It's like Kobe. I won't hit you in the head. I'm gonna hit you in the hip.
And that wasn't a cheap shot either. That thing was absolutely tanked.
Yeah, Trout does not hit cheap shots.
No
wall scrapers. It's all or nothing, which is
that
good.
Was crazy.
So that we got to give him the big props on that, which is great. So unfortunately, they lost to Texas last night, which it happens. Canning looked good until I think that the fourth inning, the wheels fell off. I think he did like 3 2/3 inning. I think he walked 6, and the Rangers came in and just shut us down from that point on. We couldn't put anything up on the board, so it's okay. Took the loss. It is a short season, but 5-9, it's still possible. Things can go on. The other plus side about what's going on this so far in the Angels is Joe Adell. One of the big, big prospects coming up in the minors finally came up. I think he went 1-for-3 in his first game. Infield single, which is great. And people are like, oh, it's an infield single. But hey, I do believe Ichiro, his first hit
man.
Was an infield single.
Who cares what your first hit is? If you get your first hit, you get your first hit.
It's laser, a hit, exactly. Book, so man. That ball is going on the mantle. So just
don't show the replay.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a shot.
Granted, he did strike out 3 times after that, but that's okay, though.
Aaron Judge does that all the time.
So we're definitely happy about that. Granted, Ohtani, I think they shut him down for the year. And I personally, it's a short season. Don't go out there and pitch. Pitch on the side. That's it. Don't go off friendly live pitching. We're going to save our investment for later on. But he also proved that he can still hit. So we're looking pretty good there.
He proved he can still hit. He's hitting like less than 200 and only has 3 home runs.
That's okay.
It's okay?
What's okay? I mean, look, I look at it this way. The season was not what it's supposed to be. We understand that. So I think it's going to favor the hitter, and good hitters are going to hit eventually. Okay, everyone gets into a slump. There's a lot of guys that are slumping right now.
Yeah.
And so what that does is, granted, you got a lot of pressure on yourself. Like, I have to perform, not because of my contract, just because of who I am. So if all the pressure's on him to hit, so I mean, look, Pujols is like, he's batting, 190? If that?
Yeah.
So he's not hitting the ball.
154 with 3 homers.
So I fudge a little bit. So the guys that aren't hitting, but everyone else has an opportunity too, like Matt Stassis.
Stassi.
He's hitting the ball really well.
300, hitting over 300 with 4 home runs. Last year, he hit 167 with 1 home run and 90 at-bats.
Yeah, so my thing is, because it's 60 game, it's a short sample size. As if I was a manager, like, everyone go out there, like the guys that don't get the chance to play every day, here's your showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got these minor leaguers. Let's get them up and come up. As a matter of fact, I think Sandoval starts today. That's his second start of the season. He's also one of the prospects that were coming up. We'll see how he does today. So I think he's got like a 2.55 ERA. So it's not bad. So we'll see how things go. So I'm not expecting things to happen overnight because, A, spring training was short. The season's going to be short. So some guys take a while to get warm, to get the feel.
Right.
I mean, if you're sitting fastball and you can't hit a fastball, then, well, you got to switch it up. I mean, I know they were talking last night about Cody Bellinger and, like, just how he's standing in the box. Just small little things can make a great hitter turn into, you know, someone under the Mendoza line. So, but I'm getting off topic. So
no, it's okay, because when you speak under Mendoza line, it brings me to Justin Upton, who's hitting 109 right now.
Yeah, but he hit number 300. Yay.
It's all about personal stats.
You have to take the good with the bad. And being an Angels fan, there's been a lot of bad. So. Yeah.
So let's real quick go back to Ohtani. So he does have the arm injury. And whether they say that affects your hitting or not, I've had an arm injury before. It affects you. It affects your hitting. And until he starts feeling comfortable and feels like there's no pain, it could definitely affect his hitting.
Now, it was just a forearm strain, right?
Yeah, I think it was a forearm strain. But the plus side about it is, like, okay, if he's a right-handed hitter and it's a right-handed forehand and he bats left. So, I mean, that, yeah, it's going to be there, but I think your bat speed is still going to be, like, the mechanics are still going to be there. You might not have as much pop.
Well, you just feel it. You still feel it.
So. Well, if I remember correctly, they did another MRI and they said there's nothing structural. It's just he has to believe that he can go full tilt, and he's not. Yeah. And that actually led to him straining. It's just babying it instead of just getting after it, which is typical. You see a lot of that happen. That's why they say it takes about a year and a half for a pitcher to fully recover. And I mean, Richards with the Padres is a perfect example. So. Oh, hopefully. I mean, I get fired up when I see Ohtani come up to the plate. I'm like, so I want to see if he wants to get the ball 500 feet. I mean, the guy's got so much power.
I love watching the Angels lineup, because when you're rolling through it, you got Trout, you got Ohtani, you got Upton, you got Pujols, you got Stassi, Rakin. I'm like, how are they 5-9?
Yeah.
How are they 5-9? Like, John, what do they need to do to turn it around? Because it seems like this team should not be 5-9. They should be closer to the top of the division.
I do believe it's pitching.
Pitching
hasn't been our strong point for a long period of time. You know, the lineup looks good on paper, always is good on paper, and most of the pitching, it's potential. You know, Canning looks really good, but, you know, he didn't look there. Was it Buttrey, I do believe, was it Buttrey? Give me a second. Stats are off.
Oh.
Well, I just know. I know that in the past, the Angels have made big investments in free agent pitching. And none of them have worked out.
Yeah, which is just none crazy.
Them, you know, either through tragedy or just arm hurt. It was a CJ Wilson came over and was supposed to, you know, be their savior, and he wasn't the pitcher he was. So I think that's where they probably changed their mentality. And so, look, we gotta build from within instead of doing these high price guys.
Is it the LA lifestyle? These guys are like, get their contract and then they move to LA, and there's so much to do in LA. It's not like living in, you know, in the middle of the country. Is that part of it?
That could have something to do with it. But I don't think so. I mean, I go back as far as when they picked up Gary Mathis Jr. from Texas. It's like, what was it, $55 million? I mean, come on, really? I mean, he played in Texas.
He had one good year, right? I mean, he wasn't a bad player, but he really had one superstar season.
Mm-hmm. And they notoriously have done things like that. Like, I was very disappointed that even when they picked up Pujols, I'm like, he was no longer in his prime. You know, his best years were in St. Louis. But yeah, he came over. He's putting people in the stands. That's kind of what it comes down to. It's about revenue. And the more revenue you have, the more you can go out and buy those players that you need. But unfortunately, with Mike Trout, you don't have enough players around him to make things happen. And so now hitting, we're there. You know, we got Rendon. Okay, Rendon's going to be, now granted, Simmons is injured, but he's a great shortstop. Fills the void. Fletcher's pretty solid second. So we also, like, with the guys coming up, like, a lot, we're going to have a really crowded outfield again. But the thing is, the pieces are there for the hitting. Mm-hmm. But pitching's not there. Andrew Heaney, yeah, he's going to be okay. Canning, we'll discuss Canning. Sandoval, he's going to come up. Bundy with a complete lane, which is great. But they're young arms, so not really proven. So we have to take the ups and downs and the wins and losses in that aspect. But the plus side about that is, because you're playing in the American League West, there's really, I mean, Oakland, besides Oakland, that's pretty much it. Seattle's coming up. Houston, they are what they are. But they're not going to do the same matches as they were before.
Yeah, I mean, no can smashing.
Right. So therefore,
no V-lander, no Cole. Yeah.
So that has always been up for grabs. Like, no one's ever ran away with a season in the American League West. So it always came down, okay, September. Mm-hmm. If you're only 10 games back, you still have a chance to come up and win that division.
Yeah, well, with, what is it, Angels are five games back in the win column. With Oakland winning 7 straight. I mean, that's
Moneyball.
Yeah. Moneyball.
But we do have a 4-game series with Oakland. If you win two of those four,
that changes. Like, you go get 3 out of 4. The whole season changes.
And it flips the entire division.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's what happened to the Padres, too. I mean, they went and they played great against the Dodgers and the Rockies, but they didn't win the games.
Right.
So, John, when you're doing your Angels report here today, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like being an Angels fan in San Diego? Like, you're not just the redheaded stepchild of LA. You're also in San Diego with the probably the third team or the 10th team, you know, favorite team in the market.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, luckily the internet makes it a lot easier because you can live stream this, that, and the other, but you know, back in the day, it's like, okay, it was a Channel 4 cover the Padres. So Padres are always on. I mean, you're in Rome. You're going to be surrounded by Romans. So,
It was worse. Back in the day when we were kids in San Diego, you couldn't even watch the Padre games because they were on pay-per-view. So we grew up watching the Braves.
Yeah.
So like Braves, we were all Cubs. Like Braves fans because we had WGN and TBS.
Yeah, Cubs.
And all their games were always on TV. It makes a huge difference. I mean, they built a whole generation of Cubs and Braves fans. So I totally get where you're coming from. It's all right now, it's all Padres, and then ESPN is all Yankees and Red Sox. And you know, I don't even know if Fox Sports West, if they let you watch the Angels games in San Diego.
No, you actually have to purchase that. Yeah. So, and if you're not that diehard of a fan, or if it's not within your cable package and they don't offer it, so it's like, okay, well, I have to find an avenue to watch it. So, I mean, if there are apps you can watch, you can, you know, stream it from other places, but, I don't know. It's difficult because you don't really get to hear about what's going on with your team, except for, you know, you can go to some AM radio every now and then. You can probably get it like on 570 back in the day. And it was like in and out when I listened to it on the radio. It's like, this is horrible. So I have to kind of watch ESPN just to get my fill. But you knew what the Padres are doing, you know, you knew what the Dodgers were doing. And that's also, you know, crappy being the second team in LA. You know, growing up, they were the California Angels because, like, you know, people, where are you from? Well, I'm not from L.A. I'm not from San Diego. I'm from San Clemente. California, hey, that's my team. You know, first game I went to was 78, so I've been a fan ever since. And so growing up, it's like, because also, since you're a West Coast team, you don't really get the limelight to do with, like, the East Coast teams and whatnot. Going back to the Cubs, I remember coming home, it's like WGN. You'd watch the Cubs game because it was on. There were no lights in Wrigley, so the games were during the day. So I knew who Mark Grace was. I knew who Ryan Sandberg was.
Exactly. Like,
but I knew I'd never see him. So that was always difficult, kind of growing up out here watching baseball, being an Angels fan, not living in Orange County. But being in San Diego, it's like, you know, go watch the Padres. You know, who doesn't love Tony Gwynn? I mean, I was all for the build the stadium downtown. I don't live downtown. I don't work downtown. Build it downtown. And then the team was gone. And so the plus side is because I do live in San Diego, I'm not that far, I can go watch a game with the kids, take the kids up, watch a game, and come back.
And the stadium's, it's a great place to watch baseball.
Oh, I love going there. Me and the kids love going, which is great. It gets odd that, you know, my one daughter's a huge Padre fan, but you've only gone like 6 games. But you've seen the Angels play like, you know, more than most other kids have. So,
by the way, the food at Angel Stadium, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. It's completely different.
Yeah, but something about the garlic fries down here. You know, you can't put something on that. So
yeah. I went up and watched an Angels game. I think it was last year, and I was like, I'm going to go get more food. It was amazing.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, the weather's the same, everything's the same at Angel Stadium, but the light in that stadium is just—it's so nice to just sit there and watch a game. I don't know how they set that up. It's just a great place.
It's kind of a nice atmosphere.
Yeah,
it is a nice atmosphere. And one thing I like about there is like just the temperatures always seems to be the same.
Yeah.
But going down to Petco, it's like you're right there by the bay. Like, it's cold.
It's hot with the sun baking on you in the middle of the day and you're getting this crazy sunburn.
I've had a couple.
Yeah.
Some good ones.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, just I love the team, the fact that they're not that far away. I get to see what's going on, but I physically have to go there, which is never a problem.
It's an hour and a half. It's no big deal. It's, you know, the traffic on the 94 at 5 o'clock takes you the same amount of time.
Yeah. It's like, I've never taken the coaster. Just take the coaster. I'd rather drive that way. I can, you know, stop at Carl's Jr. on the way back.
So. Exactly. Sitting a little bit of traffic. John, thank you so much for coming in and doing the Angels report today. It's nice to have somebody, an expert on another team, come in and help us out and give us a little feedback. Let us know what's going on with another team. You want to hang out some more and hang out on the podcast, give some more commentary?
I'll probably listen in for a little bit. I don't have a whole lot going on, but I do what I can to be a part of this. But thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I hope you come back. I'd love to have you come back every 2 or 3 weeks and give us a report on the Angels. You know, even going through the offseason, I mean, we'll make some Angels fans here in San Diego.
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, you'll have somebody to talk about the Angels with. All right, so jumping on, something happened last week. I don't know how we missed it on our last podcast. Mookie Betts signed a 12-year, $365 million extension with a $65 million signing bonus, right? Like, this, the second overall contract, largest in Major League Baseball history, but his annual is less than Manny Machado. And this is for a guy that's only hit 30 home runs in a season twice in 6 seasons. He's only batted over 300 twice. He's hit over 290 three times, including his first year. He doesn't drive in a lot of runs. He's kind of like your 290, 24 home run guy. Is that a guy worth $365 million in today's day and age?
Well, if you're going for premier outfielder, champion mindset, and if he's only hitting 290 with 24, he's got more, and you're getting his best years. I think that's what the enticing part of that contract is we can get a bona fide guy, a right-hand power hitter with speed that plays a great outfield alongside with Bellinger in the outfield and along with the other 15 guys that always seem to kind of just come up and rake for the Dodgers.
Yeah, they do a good job of developing talent. Oh,
phenomenal. I was just talking about the other day. Name a guy that the Dodgers have brought up that's been a rookie that comes out and he sucks.
There's some, but we don't live in LA, no. So we don't hear about him.
Every time you watch the Dodgers, hey, this new guy just got called up and he throws 7 innings a shutout or he goes 3 for 4. And you're like, that's amazing.
Yeah, they always have a rookie of the year candidate.
But
every year.
Being in LA, you can't have like a Tampa Bay mentality. You have to have the biggest, brightest stars.
Yeah, so let's talk about 12 years. I think he's 27 years old. Mm-hmm. Are they thinking the DH is never going away? Because you don't have a 39-year-old center fielder.
No,
I mean, he's kind of short to play first base.
Yeah, that's true.
Is he going to become a third baseman or a catcher?
Ichiro played, I mean, he was what, 40-something?
Different kind of player.
I understand, but he could still run.
Right.
And as long as you got your legs, you can play. And, you know, speaking about the Angels, I mean, Pujols had a double yesterday, and it hurt me to watch the highlight.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, my goodness. And then he had to score from second base. Oh, I felt so. And he even walked back to the dugout, and he looked gassed. Yeah. If Mookie, I do think the DH is going to stick. I really do. I think after this year, I think the owners are going to go to the managers and go, and what do you think? And they're going to go, that was so much easier. No double switches. I don't have to just have a guy stand up there in the third inning and takes 3 strikes. And, you know, I think it's going to stick. And actually, I become a fan of, specifically the Padres, of what are they going to do for DH?
Yeah, I like the bigger rosters too, to be honest with you. I like having these bigger rosters with the DH and the 3-batter minimum, which I thought I'd hate, as I talked about last week. I'm actually kind of like it. I'm like, let's keep these rosters at 28 or 30. Mm-hmm. You got more pitchers. You keep the same amount of hitters. The games are going faster. Mm-hmm. They're fun to watch. I say go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the plus side about the DH is because, like you say, Albert Pujols is a prime example. Or guy, he can't run. Like, he can barely field, but he can hit. So the potential's there. So to prolong someone's career, I mean, let's say Barry Bonds. Granted, he's not playing, but
Oh, he could probably roll out in DH right now.
Exactly. That almost happened, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine, like, you know, granted, just show up and there's a possibility he can go yard and you can still be a part of that. So that's a plus side about the DH. The downside about it is you'll never see, you know, like a pitcher go yard. No, you do have like Carlos Zambrano back in the day. He was a hell of a pitcher that could hit.
Bumgarner.
You know, so you have that. And so by taking that away, that kind of takes away some of the purity of the game. You know, like instead of 7 innings, like let's do 9. That's supposed to be, we're doing 7, but it's 9. And so,
yeah. I'm not a big fan of that, especially with the expanded rosters. I think you can play 2 more innings when you have, you know, 20 pitchers on your staff. Yeah. But, and I'm a big fan. I love the double switch. I love all that. But in today's day and age where you have these short attention spans, I'm actually kind of liking watching the games.
Yeah.
No, I mean, less commercials.
And you know me, I'm a traditionalist. I like baseball the way it's played, you know, the history of it. But watching one pitcher's hitting 130, and then, you know, I mean,
it's like watching Austin Hedges. Sorry, Austin.
That's all right. He's a great catcher. But I think that that dynamic is one of the reasons why you give a guy a 12-year contract, even if it doesn't stick, well, then he's a trade guy to a winner.
Yeah, but you got to eat half the contract anyways if you trade him, you know?
Yeah, but you've gotten 10 years of him, and you've sold how many number 50 Mookie Betts jerseys?
I don't
jersey
know if you get 10 years. That's 37 years old. You've got like five or six good seasons, might be worth $360 million. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not in the LA's market. If that makes the next TV contract be even bigger, if that gets more people in the stands, if people can ever go back to the games, I'm down with it. I'd be $365 million when nobody can go in the stands.
When's the last time the Dodgers won a championship, a World Series championship? That's why they spent $365 million on Mookie Betts, because they think...
Well, he's the best player available, right? Yeah. There's nobody else. Yeah, he is the best player available.
The best position. I mean, it was Cole and Betts.
Well, I think that just kind of, I know we're going to talk Padres later. I think this is a big spot where the Padres made a huge mistake. They seemed like they were the leaders for Mookie Betts in the trade market, but they had to like throw Will Myers in on the deal. I mean, the Padres could have Mookie Betts playing center field right now if they would have given up a couple of prospects.
Yeah.
You know, well, if he's that valuable, if he's worth $365 million, there isn't a player, you know, in your minor leagues that is that valuable right now, at least. And they're not going to be that valuable for 4 or 5 years, no matter what, except for maybe Tatis.
True. Well, and maybe that's where the Padres are trying to do a deal to where, okay, this isn't going to hurt us long-term. And we got this superstar that we know we're going to have to sign a huge contract to. And we got Machado, Tatis, and Betts for $1 billion.
Yeah. But
you know,
that is a winning That's what the Dodgers are doing to win.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to win, unfortunately in baseball, you got to pay if you want proven talent. Yeah. Luckily right now they're doing it with young guys that are coming up and, you know, a mix of veterans and the veterans the Padres have brought in on these large contracts haven't actually filled out yet. So hopefully this Mookie Betts deal works out for the Dodgers, because I have to tell you, this is going to be a lot more fun to watch Padre Dodger games.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to get to watch one of the premier players for years and years to come, hopefully, for the Dodgers playing against the Padres. And that just means we get to watch them 20 times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the rivalry is there, whether either one of those teams are good, which is usually the Dodgers. You've got talent on both sides. That's going to be a fun series. You know you're going to get, you know, the Bellingers and the Muncies and and then you got Kershaw, even though he's not Kershaw that he used to be. Yeah. He's still Kershaw, right? And then now you got the Padres with Tatis and Paddock and Lamette and Machado. And your favorite player,
Groneworth!
Dude, the guy's on fire.
We'll get to him in a little bit.
He's so awesome.
We'll get to him in a little bit. Okay, all right, so that's all about Mookie Betts. Let's jump over to Aaron Judge. All right, so the Judge has been in session over the last week, just raking home runs every day. And then he rolls out of bed yesterday and goes, you know, 0-for-4 with 3 Ks. If you were the manager, are you okay with that?
I'd be okay with that.
I think I'd be okay with it, too. But it's just, you know, it's hard to believe that somebody can go look amazing for a week and then just our team loses 1-0 and you had 3 strikeouts. You know, you didn't even get on base. You put the ball in play.
Maybe some bad food, didn't get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Gastritis, like
something.
Eric Hosmer. But
could have been his dog drinking water.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have Aaron Judge on my team if I was playing. He seems like the future of baseball, the type of player that he is. Very athletic, hits the ball very, very hard, but we got to get on base. You know, he's a 270 guy that could hit 40 home runs. I mean,
in that yard, 50 in a full season.
Yeah, I mean, that's not much different than what the Padres got out of Greg Vaughn when they made their run way back in the day. But if Aaron Judge learns how to make more contact, he could be one of the best players in the history of baseball.
Well, you've got the size, you got the strength, you got the youth. I mean, he's not old.
No, exactly.
And he plays an athletic outfield. He doesn't take a lot of chances, so hopefully he's not getting hurt. But that's kind of been his bugaboo. You know, get dinged up, bunch of strikeouts, takes a while to get healthy, and then he's on fire.
Yeah.
So
very streaky.
Very streaky.
But that seems to be the norm. Like, you know, it's like you hit 30 home runs and you strike out 145 times. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, you know, coming up, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, it was small ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to hit a 3-run homer every time. You're not trying to go yard, launch angles and sabermetrics and whatnot. So, but that seems to be like today's player. It's like, you know, I'm here to go. I hit dingers. That's what I do.
Yeah. But if you look at today's team, the team in first place out in Florida, the Marlins. I haven't followed them a lot, but I don't see them as the strikeout 140 times, 30 home run guy. They're the young team playing the opposite way of everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I think they're taking on a mentality of one of their owners of it's okay to hit the ball to the right side. You know, a hard ground ball is just as good as, you know, trying to lift. You know, your chances are the same. I think they're taking on a completely different mentality than what we're used to. But if you're playing Jeter ball, you know, it's about contact, play the game right, hustle, don't embarrass yourself. And obviously, I mean, they're what, 7-1?
Yeah, they've won every game since they came back from their COVID suspension. You know, they rolled a guy out there that never pitched above A ball yesterday, and he went out and threw, you know, 5 innings or something and got 7 strikeouts. I mean, they're just doing it with young, passionate players. It's pretty exciting to see. I hopefully we get a chance to see him. I have a couple other things we want to get to before we get to the Padres. We got a lot to talk about the Padres. But I want to talk about Nick Markakis opting back into the season. Nick Markakis opted out after talking to Freddie Freeman and how bad COVID was. And then I don't know. I couldn't find anything about why he came back, but he did. And in his first game back, he hits a walk-off homer. So there's a 36-year-old player opting back in, coming in and helping his team right away. So are we expecting that down the road, if the Giants or the Mets turn it around and start playing well, that we could see Buster Posey or Cespedes opt back in for a playoff run? I didn't know you were allowed to opt back in.
I thought once you opt out,
you were out. So now we know it's not the case. So could we, like, if the Giants turn their season around, could Buster Posey, like, opt back in for a playoff run?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's on the roster, why not?
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm playing every day and I'm busting it and we're winning, and then all of a sudden another play, oh, hey, I want to play. You're like, dude, I've been, where have you been? You know, why weren't you here?
Players don't do that. They just want to win. If you get a player that makes your team better, you're like, thank you. We're going to win.
I know, but I mean, but you know, in the back of your head, you're thinking, well, why did you opt out in the first place?
You think too much.
I, you know what? And that's been a problem of mine, that I do think too much sometimes, but you know, but you're bringing back Buster Posey.
Right.
You know,
and your team doesn't get worse.
Right. But is he in shape? Has he been playing? Is he ready? We can't wait 2 weeks for you to get your swing back. I'm pretty sure
Buster Posey rolls out of bed ready to hit. I don't think
DH him then. Go ahead and DH him.
But I mean, could we see, I'm assuming that they wouldn't come back, but this sets a precedence that maybe they could.
Well, maybe Dave Price comes back.
Maybe. So I don't want to go on the DL, but I'm not, you know, I'm having a rough time. I need to take a couple weeks off. I'm going to opt out and I'll come back in 3 weeks. I mean, could we see that?
Potentially we could.
I mean, that's what this sets a precedent of, right? Like, I need a break. I don't want to go on this road trip. I'm opting out. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Well, did they really have a protocol for people to opt out and opt back in?
I never heard about the ability to opt back in. Nobody ever said you could opt back in. How did Nick Markakis opt back in? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm like, he's coming back. I thought he said no.
Exactly. All right, so I think that's going to be interesting to follow as we move forward. I mean, Cespedes, maybe he just didn't want to go to the field that day, so he's like, I think I'll opt out.
I can't even.
I overslept. I'm going to get bad press. I'm opted out.
I'm still hungover.
Something.
I'm not as good as Babe Ruth. I can't play hungover. Jeez. By the way, we have no official proof that actually happened, so please don't come after us for that. Let's talk a little Christian Yelich, because I know, Hoppy, you want to talk about Christian Yelich. He was in a monster slump. He's hitting 125. He's 5 for 40, but he has 3 homers and 6 RBIs, so that's good for today's game. he hit it, and one of those is an inside the park home run, so at least he didn't even have to leave the yard. He just ran fast. I watched him drop a fly ball last night. He was in a running catch, but he still missed it. Yeah. What's going on with Christian Yelich?
Man, I think he's one of those guys that is a routine guy. And I mean, just, you know, from past experience, when you get into, you know, spring training and then we break camp and then we go to start the season and you've got your workout routine, you got all this stuff to prepare yourself for 162. And then this happens and you take 3 months off and you're not doing your regular routine. You're not getting your regular workouts. And then you come back and you start the season and you're 1 for 37 and your only hit was a home run.
Woo woo.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this whole thing just messed up his routine. And then just like anybody who's struggling, you start pressing. And I don't see Yelich as a guy at press, because you look at him and he's not visibly shaken, but his pitch selection was off. I mean, chasing balls. I watched a few games and I'm like, what is he swinging at? And it wasn't even like loud outs. I mean, they were bad at bats. So I don't know if he's hiding an injury and you know, wants to get out there and be there for his boys, or if he was just so out of routine, you know, now he's 40 at bats into it. I mean, that's a halfway spring training.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a guy that couldn't not hit a home run last year.
I know. Like I said, I think he had so much success. He's like, well, I'm expecting myself to go out and do this and I'm not doing it. Well, now I think he's just pressing, you know, he's pressing, he's trying to get up to speed and find his routine. This has obviously, you know, affected him way more than a lot of players. But then again, when we talk about Pujols, it's hitting, what was he hitting, 145?
Yeah, he's struggling.
You know, a lot of the big names, look at Machado.
I know he's struggling. You know,
he's hitting 200.
Yeah, same with Pham. He's a 300 hitter every year.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just from MVP and couldn't, like you said, couldn't not hit a home run last year to, you know, 5 for 40.
Yeah. I think you're onto something with the whole structure thing. If you're accustomed to a certain routine and you get out of that routine, that throws everything off. You know, if you're like 5 minutes, you know, getting late out of bed, like I'm 5 minutes behind, so now I'm hitting in traffic and then my coffee is going to be cold and everything else just kind of snowballs into effect, you never get a chance to catch up. And so if you need like those extra weeks in spring training, like that extra month of baseball just to get your swing down, to get your head right, to get your head in the game, and you don't have that, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like you said, like he's an MVP, you know, it'll come around, but because it's such a short season, he might not have time for it to come around before the season's over.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not just, you know, the repetition and the playing. I think in the NBA bubble, they were talking about, you know, the veteran players and what they had to do to their body and their massages and their people that helped them prepare for the games. you know, they're not there in the bubble, so it's harder on their bodies. You got the same thing here. You're like confined to your room. You can't go out and get a, you know, the normal things you normally do. You don't have the same trainers that you normally have because you can't go mix with those people. I think that could come into it too. You know, that your routine is literally different. You know, you can't roll out of bed, go to the sandwich shop, get this coffee, go to the store, you know, hit 7-Eleven. You can't do what you would normally do on a normal day because you put your whole season of your whole team at risk. Just ask the Cardinals and the Marlins, you know, what's going on, you know? So I think that could possibly be a part of some of these veteran guys that are having slow starts because they can't do the things that they normally do to keep their bodies healthy and you know, have a normal everyday routine.
But the thing is too, now with him working and struggling right now, wait till he catches fire because it's going to happen. He's going to figure it out. And, you know, Milwaukee's what, 5 games back from Chicago, who's on fire.
Not this weekend.
Well,
they don't get to play this weekend because of the Cardinals.
They won't lose.
they won't lose. But what's going to happen though, is now they're going to have 3 doubleheaders at some point in the rest of the season. That's going to make, even though they're 7 innings, that's going to pile a whole bunch of games on.
Right.
And it's going to make it very difficult for them. Even though the rosters, they decided to leave them at 28 going forward.
Good call.
It's still going to be really hard for them to make up, you know, when they're playing 9 games in 1 week.
Yeah. Well, if he catches on fire, you got to watch out for the Brewers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Padres have had 1 day off this season. They have 17 games in a row coming up. And all of their off days are built into the back of the season. So when you think about the Padres having all their off days built into the back of the season, and the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Marlins having to play doubleheaders all through the back of the season.
And their opponents.
Right. Yeah. So when you get into that playoff scenario and all those guys are exhausted, and if the Padres make the playoffs, they could potentially be rested. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely some weird stuff going on in Major League Baseball this year.
Oh, yeah.
So let's jump to the Padres. So the Padres have been really, really fun to watch this year. And I was just sitting back thinking about, just in general, about the Padres. And my daughter's like, oh my God, it's so nice to come home. You know, on Thursday night, she's like, got the Padre game on. I'm like, they're having off day. She's like, I'm getting so used to watching the Padres every night when I get home. I love watching the Padres. And I was thinking about, why are we love watching the Padres? We're loving the Padres right now because we're not watching the team to see how the prospects are doing. We're not watching the team because they might be good next year. We're actually watching because they could win every game and they have exciting players that are doing amazing things. This has been a fun season so far. They're only 2 games over 500. They were in first place early. We talked about it last week. I mean, Hoppy, what are your thoughts on what we're seeing with the Padres right now?
Well, you have a bona fide superstar in Tatis.
Absolutely.
Bona fide.
No sophomore slump for Tatis so far. Yeah, he looks amazing.
He comes out, and this is a big series right now.
Just quick on Tatis. I believe last night with his leadoff home run, he's tied for 2nd all time in Padre leadoff home runs. he hasn't even played a full season of baseball yet.
Hey, he's a little bit behind Ricky. But
yeah, I think he has 7 leadoff home runs and he hasn't even played 160 games.
Yeah. If you look at his 162 average, it's like 330 with 25 jacks. Give me that. Give me that.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to throw that out there. But it was pretty amazing.
You've got a bona fide superstar, you know, and then you've got Machado, and just like with the other big name players, he's going to catch on fire. So if you've got Machado and Tatis and Fam struggling and Machado struggling as far as average wise, when they catch fire and they catch up with, you know, Tatis, we're not playing our best baseball right now. As far as everyone clicking. So when that happens, it's going to be a real push with the Dodgers. And even though the Dodgers took 2 out of 3, those games were tight.
Oh yeah.
You were one swing away.
Yeah. I mean, we had a runner. The Padres had a runner thrown out at home plate to end a game.
Yeah. Perfect throw.
Yeah. It was perfect. Perfect. It was beautiful.
So, I'm excited because again, you have a chance to win every game.
Yeah.
And you're right. We're not watching, you know, the prospects play. They're there to win.
Well, the prospects that are playing are part of a winning formula, not let's make sure that we get Edward Olivares his 150 at bats this season, mm-hmm. and we don't care whether we win or lose because we're playing for 3 years from now.
Right. Right. No, and that's what I'm excited about. Seeing the last 3 years. Okay, now it's time. It's time now.
Yeah, it's exciting. And just speaking to that, a big move as the Padres were going from 30 down to 28 for the rest of the season, they sent two players down to their USD or UCSD campus. And there were two players that you probably thought wouldn't be sent down. It was the pitcher who had the most starts last year in Joey Lucchese, but he's been struggling. And then Josh Naylor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Naylor is a victim of other players performing.
Yeah, he's a redundant player.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of know what you get with Naylor. But you've got other players that are stepping up. Grisham, I think, is – I mean, I didn't think we were getting that player.
No, I mean, he did good for Milwaukee. I feel like the only reason they traded him is because that one play where the really hard spinning ball bounced past him in the playoff game, and they ended up losing. And I felt like they traded him because of that, and they didn't want their fans to be like on him or something. I have no idea, but the guy was hitting. He was a young player.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that particular play that happened, that's going to happen to pretty much anybody if you try to charge that ball and make a play, because the ball's going to bounce the same way no matter whether it's Barry Bonds or Christian Yelich or Trent Grisham.
Yeah.
You know, there's really not much you can do. Yeah.
But I think like with Naylor, he's a victim of other players just outperforming. Because like I said, you know what you get with him.
Well, they're playing speed. They're playing speed.
They're playing speed. They're playing defense.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he is what he is. But the Lucchese, when I saw that pop up, I'm like, wow. Okay.
Two bad starts.
Yeah.
See ya.
You know, I think this is probably the preparation part, is both starts that Lucchese had, Quantrill came in after him both times. And Quantrill really outpitched Lucchese in those games. You know, they split them. Quantrill did, but you know, he performed better. Now what that means moving forward, for Lucchese, is going to be, that was probably a tough bus ride over to USD going, what am I doing? What's the next step? You know, where are we going from here? But on the Padre side, they're loading up to win now. And it's really perform or you're done, which has not been the mentality of the Padres.
Well, I think it also comes down to, if we're going to have a guy throwing 3 2/3 innings and losing a game, I think we'd rather have it be Patino than Lucchese.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right. Let's get him some work in the bullpen and do this. Cause if we're going to have a guy, I mean, this guy is the future. I think they thought Lucchese was the future, but he's really struggled. And I think it really does send a message. You better step up and perform, or
it's a different mentality, man. Different mentality. And that comes from, I think it comes from the manager, like I said, as far as running hard and playing the game right and doing this. And then from the, you know, ownership going, you win, you play your best, or you're done. And we're not a retirement city. We're not a prospects city. We are investing in winning now. So if you don't perform, you're done.
Yeah. So let's go back to Tatis a little bit. So we talked about Tatis, you know, being dynamic. He's hitting the ball. He's putting the balls in play. He's hitting out of the park. He's playing great defense. We talked about him and all his leadoff home runs. Why is Tatis batting leadoff instead of third?
Because he gets more at bats. More at bats. You know, it's almost that little league mentality. You put your best hitters in the top of the lineup.
Yeah. It's solo home runs, unfortunately, right now, because Machado and Pham aren't getting it done. But I think I'm with you on that. I think on, you know, 90% of the teams, though, he'd be batting third.
True. True. I mean, if you're talking about big money, Betts bats third. So, but I think with his speed element, his ability, you know, you got Grisham bat behind him. So now you got a left-hand hitter. So there's your stolen base. There's your open hole. Now you got first and third for Machado. and Pham.
Hopefully.
And Hosmer, who, you know, is coming back.
Hopefully today.
Hopefully. And he was on fire. And then Will Myers.
Four home runs.
I mean, not that I called this, but I'm telling you, Will's going to have a great season. I think it's to, and he's, his approach looks so much better. So much better. So, with Tatis, I like him in that leadoff. So immediate pressure on that pitcher. And last night, first pitch goes yaya. Absolutely beautiful. Now you're up 1-0. Change whatever error Arizona had.
Yeah. Well, just remember what happened at the top of the second inning when it became 2-0 from Jake Cronenworth.
Dude, is he an MVP?
My favorite player came. He was at one point yesterday, he was hitting 375. I think he's around 350 right now after he got out one time. Comes in, rookie, pitcher, shortstop. Kind of seems like he was kind of a throw in from Tampa Bay. Comes out, makes the club. Hosmer goes down, somehow goes and plays first base and just rakes. And it's not like Carlos Villanueva's, you know, home run streak or some of these players like Margot would get hot. Cronenworth doesn't have a bad swing. No. It's something that his swing is a swing that can play.
Yeah.
So there, you know, he might not be a 350 hitter. He might be a 250 hitter, but if he hits 250, does that make him the starting second baseman when Hosmer comes back? I mean, you've got a second baseman in Profar that's hitting 100 with a 250 on base percentage. You know, does Cronenworth become the guy? Do you have to hand it over to him because he's doing so well every day? He's not coming in and playing every 3 days. He's playing every day.
Well, one, I don't think he's going to hit 250. His swing.
Well, who cares? If he hit 250, that's better than the Padres have got out of second base forever.
True. But that I think his swing, it really reminds me a lot of Andrew Benintendi. Watching him more and more. And I'm a huge Benintendi fan, and I'm watching his swing, and he's like a 280 guy. He might be a 280, 300 guy, you know, and if he's driving the ball, I mean, were these power numbers expected? I'm not sure.
He's got two home runs. He turned on a changeup last night and he put it out of the yard. He put a good swing on a changeup. I mean, if he hits 10 home runs, who cares, right?
But he could be a 320 guy.
I just want to see him play second base. They're getting nothing out of second base.
Yeah,
you got to go with a hot bat. And if he's filling the void, he's putting the runs up and he's actually, you know, producing, you got to leave him out there.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. And so when Hosmer comes back, who goes down?
You may have like a Dozier, Kinsler type of scenario here where
you can't send down Garcia because he plays too many positions.
Garcia's money, and you're not sending down France.
Well, France could be it. Profar could be it. It could. I doubt it's all. I'm guessing it's going to be Abraham Almonte because there's no reason to have Abraham Almonte and Edward Olivares both on the same team.
Right, the same guy, basically same guy.
Except one of them has never played in the major leagues and has a chance to prove himself, and one of them has never been able to stick in the major leagues. And I was surprised they even brought him up, Almonte, up to begin with, and then stuck him in the lineup. I was surprised.
Well, do you think that might be leading to possible trade scenarios?
Maybe.
You know?
But, I mean, if I had to pick it between Olivares and Almonte, I always go with the younger player and see what they can do.
Yeah.
Especially now because he can't go back to the minors and play. So you're better off playing one once every 3 days in the major leagues than just taking BP every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do have some tough decisions.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do about catching?
Oh, I got this right here. I wanted to cover this. You know, so by the way, I do think Cronenworth should be the starting second baseman tonight if Hosmerth comes back. I mean, he's a shortstop, you know.
Playing phenomenal first base, by the way.
Yeah, he was a little rough right at the beginning, but now he's really stepped up.
And he's made some plays. You're like, wow.
I know. I saw like a sign that wasn't in the stands. It would have been hashtag trade Hosmer. Keep Cronenworth.
With your name on the bottom?
No, it wasn't me. I just saw it. I didn't agree with it. Cronenworth might be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. He's played 10 games. I love Cronenworth because he plays. He just goes out and plays.
Plays the game right.
All right. So moving on to the catchers for the Padres. All right. Hedges is batting 100 with a 100 on base percentage. That means he's got no walks. Mejia is batting 083, although he hit a ball hard yesterday, with a 185 on base percentage, which means he probably has two walks. Should the Padres package those two up and get another catcher? Like Max Stassi from the Angels.
Oh, no.
You don't have that much potential.
He's only had one good week.
If you were to, because I doubt a team's going to take both of them.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, you do a couple trades. What are you trading for? In Hedges, you're going to get a receiver that can block the ball, call a good game, throw runners out. And I know he said he's been working on an approach. Well, you need consistent at bats to do that.
How many years can you work on an approach?
Yeah. You know, and I get it. And
this isn't an Ivan Rodriguez scenario.
No, it's not. It's not. And I feel for him because he is that good of a catcher that he should be catching in the big leagues. But God, it's a struggle at the plate.
Yeah. I mean, would we be better off with Matt Wieters playing catcher right now? Cause we get 220.
Well, if we're just going to talk about trades, I just don't know what you'll get for him. You're not going to get another catching prospect out of it. You're going to have to do a different trade to get a catcher.
Well, you have to package him
or something, but I mean, you're going to have to get rid of, you know, one of your arms. You know, a couple guys on your taxi squad to pick up a guy that you're going to throw in there and hope that he hits.
Yeah, I think at this point you have to move those guys off the roster. Like, if you're going to bring somebody else in, neither one of them can still be there.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you look, okay, who do you think we can go get? If you're going to make a trade right now and you're the Padres, okay, who can we go get and what do I got to give up for him? Well, one of the guys that's playing really well right now is Christian Vasquez with Boston. And whether they want to say it or not, the Red Sox are in a rebuild, you know. But what are you going to have to give up to get Christian Vasquez? Well, give me one of your arms. Give me a bat. Okay, we'll take Hedges because he's going to have to come in and catch for us, you know. And what else you got? It might be a 5-player deal to go get Christian Vasquez, who, you know, is a solid catcher with a solid bat. Well, you're going 5-for-1 because there's not really much out there is for catching. So, you know, my guess, you're going to finish the season with Hedges catching.
Well, I think you're right. I think you need to pick one.
Yeah.
Or Hedges is the personal catcher of Garrett Richards, Chris Paddock, and, you know,
yeah,
whoever else. And then Mejia gets thrown in there once a week, you know, because if Mejia, like I talked about last week, if Mejia isn't hitting, he's not worth playing.
Right.
And Hedges, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a bomb, a single to left field, and strike out on sliders down and away. I mean, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But you're going to get solid play behind home plate. He's not, you know, Ivan Rodriguez, but he's not, you know, Mike Piazza behind the plate.
I mean, I think that's what you kind of want behind the home plate. You want someone that's going to manage the staff, you know, someone that can, you know, keep those balls in the dirt from front of you, not behind you. I mean, you offense is not going to be there, but the thing is, you really want to, at this point, since the Padres have a pretty decent offensive team, like they're getting it together.
Yeah, they're that's the one thing that should keep Hedges in the lineup every day is they have a DH now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so if he can be solid behind the plate, you know, manage the pitching staff and actually, you know, call a decent game and actually keep the ball in front of you, throw out runners, okay, that's your job.
Right.
Okay, we're not expecting you to hit 220. We're not expecting you to hit, we hope you hit 200. We'll take that.
Yeah, but they haven't shown that they're willing to do that.
Because he's been on the roster, what, six years, I think?
Five? Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. They brought in Mejia. They're still trying to get Mejia at bats. He's not hitting. Like, just give it to Hedges and run with it. Give it to Mejia and run with it. But stop mixing this up because you're messing with your pitchers. You're messing with your whole team. Your lineup's different every day. They're batting in a different order all the time. Like, depending upon who's catching, give it to one of them, let it roll, build some confidence with your players. And if you're going to give it to one of them, you got to give it to the one that can play defense.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I would just play, just keep Hedges, roll throughout the rest of the season, maybe pick up a free agent next year.
And have Hedges bunt half the time. Just move a runner over. It's better than a strikeout.
I don't know. I think my first round pick next year is a catcher. You got to get the best catcher you can.
It's hard to get.
That's the one piece of the puzzle that the guys are, the Padres are missing, is a solid bat behind the plate.
Yeah. Last time we had that was what, Carlos Hernandez?
Yeah, they should call like Mike Socha and see if he wants to come off the retired list.
They're not getting Ben Davis back.
Let's bring back Ben Davis. Wow. I bet Benito wants to play.
I bet you Benito still has a cannon.
Probably.
It's kind of rusty, but
it's a rusty cannon. Rusty. I like it, but they got to do something. You know, somebody's got to do something about this catching thing, and the decision needs to be made, and they just need to roll with it.
Yeah. Well, first thing you do is go to your pitching staff.
Yeah. Well, I get tired of watching Mejia trying to catch Kirby Yates.
Oh, yeah. That's a struggle. And like I said, I was watching the game. Yates was physically, you know, you could see he was frustrated.
Always. Every time Mejia's behind the plate when he pitches, you can see him in his face being like, okay, just let it go. Just let it go. Just do your thing. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Because every time he throws the pitch down in the zone, there's a chance that goes to the backside.
Why not have Hedges call it from the dugout? Have Mejia look over.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, I think Mejia physically has trouble catching pitches from Kirby Yates.
Yeah. So he doesn't have confidence in throwing his split, which is why he's so successful.
That's right. Because every time he throws a split finger, there's a chance to go into the backstop, and he's not going to get a strike call on it ever.
Right. Well, I hope they figure it out, because the Padres got a shot, man.
They have a shot.
They got a shot.
I agree. The cake. And I do want to talk about one trade that happened between the Padres and the Brewers a while back. I believe it was Luis Urias and Eric Lauer going to the Brewers, and Zach Davies and Grisham coming back. Mm-hmm. I think it was a single trade. I don't think there was two. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But essentially, that was it. Who do you think got the better of that deal? I mean, Lauer's thrown, I think, three innings this year, 3 1/3. He's given up more runs than innings pitched as a starter, and two or three starts. Zach Davies is just dealing. The ball never goes straight. His changeup's insane. And Grisham's the starting center fielder, and Urias isn't even on the major league roster for the Brewers.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I mean, to get that trade and to have it work out the way the Padres have got it, I mean, AJ's working his magic.
That was a good one.
That was a great trade. It's proven now. That was a great trade for the Padres. You know, shed some weight, because we have all these other guys coming in at second base, even though you look at second base and you're like, well, maybe
Urias never hit either.
Yeah. But I mean, again, he was one of those guys that you knew what you had with him. And is that going to help you win? No. Okay. But I just, like I said, I'm really surprised. Davies, you look at him, you're like, okay. But his changeup is absolute filth. He threw five straight changeups and struck a guy out.
Yeah, so he did an interview last night after the game, and somebody asked him, you know, how he's able to do this and that. He's like, my high school coach taught me how to throw that changeup, and they worked with me on it, and it's become my best pitch.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave all the praise to his high school coaches for helping him learn how to throw that changeup. And I was like, that was refreshing to see. You know, he's an honest person. It seems like he's like, you know, if it wasn't for my high school coaches, I wouldn't know how to throw this pitch. And we've been building on it ever since. And now it's the best pitch that I have. And one of the most important things that he said was the way the game's going with the way the hitters are reacting dictates how I pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was working and they weren't hitting it. So I just kept throwing it.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny is everyone knows he has a good changeup. And they're still swinging.
Oh, it's Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. But you watch it, just falls off. It's got late movement, and it's not a ton, but it's such a good arm action.
Yeah. They were talking about how he works hard to make sure every single pitch arm action looks exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the changeup. I know a certain guy that I got rid of a split and showed him a change. Absolutely love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And you can throw it whenever you want.
Yeah, and then on top of that, Grisham has become the starting center fielder for the Padres. I think he's hitting around 250, 260, showing a little pop. Decent in the outfield, you know, nothing spectacular. Yeah.
Well, he's made some really nice plays, and it's one of those guys you throw out. You don't feel like, oh God, don't hit it to center. You know, he can play.
He's pretty good coming in. I don't think he's as good going back.
Right.
He needs to work on going back for balls over his head. He made a diving catch that made the top five yesterday on MLB coming forward. Just needs to work on going back on balls. But the Padres outfield has been good. You add, you know, youngster like Oliveras into the mix. I mean,
yeah, Myers played a solid right field, you know. So, yeah, as far as that trade goes, I think the Padres did all right.
I agree. Yeah, I think so, too. I think it was good. And I think the Padres are fun to watch, and we've got 16 more games in a row to watch before a day off. So that'll be fun. It'll give me something to do every night at 7 o'clock when I get home from my daughter's soccer practice, throw on the Padre game, eat a little dinner, and try to stay up till the end of it. Sorry, I work early in the mornings. So I go to bed a little bit early. John, I want to thank you for coming on. I'm sorry, John from Lakeside. I want to thank you for coming on and doing our Angels report being the first ever guest on the Off the Cut podcast.
All right, I like it. Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for the Angels reporter.
You're worldwide now.
Yeah.
Global.
People are going to be listening to you internationally. Don't forget, everybody, you can catch us on Twitter at Off the Cut Pod, Instagram, Off the Cut Podcast, Facebook, our page called Off the Cut Podcast. Hoppy, wow, what a day. Dude. Another hour and 5 minutes of podcasting in the books.
Some solid work right there.
I'm loving it. You know what time it is.
Is it time to what?
I think it's time to sign off.
Is it time to sign off?
Sign off. Woo!